Sand, surf, and software? South Florida may not be known as a technology hub, but the future of technology holds the promise of good jobs, a strong economy, and an engaged community. There's a burgeoning effort to grow and attract the technology industry to our region. Local entrepreneur advocates have been very active, but what else is needed? Can Miami really become Silicon Beach? I'm Tom Hudson. Coming up on the Sunshine Economy, Silicon Beach, the future of technology and startups in South Florida. Incubators, accelerators, co-working locations are cropping up across the region. What do? How do they work? Plus, healthcare technology is very hot. That's ahead on the Sunshine Economy, Silicon Beach, the future of technology and startups in South Florida. What contributes to your town's economic reputation? It's tough to change a reputation, especially when it comes to a local economy. Industries start and grow up, helping shape and define the business of a region. You hear Detroit, you probably think of Ford or General Motors, automakers, right? Iowa. One word probably comes to mind, corn. But it is possible to change your economic reputation. Just consider the case of North Dakota. It had been a far outpost of rolling hills of wheat and livestock ranches, short summers, long and cold winters. Now its reputation is one of an energy powerhouse, fueling a resurgence in U.S. oil and natural gas, bringing with it good-paying jobs to the state. So can we do the same here? We're known for our sun and sand, but can South Florida become a Silicon Beach, a driving force in the global race for technology? This is the Sunshine Economy, the future of technology and startups in South Florida. Welcome to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Join the conversation online at WLRN.org, on Twitter with the handle Sunshine Economy, hashtag Sunshine Economy at WLRN. Silicon Valley, Boston, San Diego, Seattle, all these areas with high-tech reputations. These are locations known for big ideas that have changed businesses, even created entire industries. Now, the future of technology holds the promise of good jobs, a strong economy, and an engaged community. Working in technology brings with it better pay, averaging more than $60,000 per year, a better educated workforce, and a more globally competitive local economy. That's why there's a global race toward technology. The competition to start new technology companies and attract established firms here is mighty fierce. Silicon Valley has been home to the technology industry for decades. New York has Silicon Alley. Even a stretch of the Midwest from Texas north to Minnesota at least fancies itself as Silicon Prairie. So can we become Silicon Beach? All these areas want to build out their part of the economic future on technology. South Florida's reputation has gone beyond sun and sand. It may be changing. Our region has the most entrepreneurial spirit of any American metropolitan area. Now, that's according to a recent study out by U.S. and German researchers published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Manny Medina is one of those leading the charge for South Florida. He's been on the forefront of technology locally and globally for years. You can see his impact if you're driving on 395 right through downtown Miami. Just look to the south. That building with the white spheres on top? That was his when he ran Terramark, building the internet interchange between North America and South America. Now, a year ago, he told a group of top technology executives in South Florida, quote, Miami does not have tech. Since then, he has led the charge by announcing a new technology conference in Miami for next spring. Emerge Americas is designed to bring the world of high tech right to our shores.
I am convinced that we can actually make Miami, South Florida, actually, a technology hub, right? A real technology hub. As much as we want to be, we're not. It was very frustrating for us, being one of the large publicly traded technology companies in Miami, that when I traveled around the U.S., I would meet some of my peers from Latin America or from Europe, and all of them would end up wanting to come to Miami, but they would come to Miami to come shopping or to have a few days in South Beach, or, you know, they never relate Miami to technology.
Historically, was this an opportunity missed for South Florida? Some folks in the technology business will point to IBM producing and inventing the original PC computer in Boca Raton, which may be missed on a lot of folks.
I don't think IBM was rooting for South Florida to be a technology hub. They wanted a place to quietly produce what they were producing. However, we were almost there at the end of the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s. When the Internet revolution happened in the mid-90s, South Florida began attracting a bunch of particularly Latin American startups, like Yupi, like Patagon, and some of these companies. That it was the frenzy, right, that happened, all of us. And there was an ecosystem that was beginning to build in the late 90s, early 2000. Then the world stopped, right? And then you had the bubble burst, the telecommunications industry imploded. At the same time, you had September 11th. So that was all wiped out. And so it wasn't so much an opportunity lost as it was that circumstances, macro circumstances that were beyond the control of South Florida, did not allow for that to take root in a healthy way.
Manny, you've seen a number of different cycles in technology from a macro perspective as well as locally. Describe the state of the technology industry today as it stands in South Florida, and sketch out your vision of what you think the technology industry could be locally in 2023.
I think the exciting part about this right now, the cycle, I've seen many cycles, and you're right. I think one of the interesting things that happens today, contrary to what happened when the Internet bubble burst, is that there's a whole transformation in the information technology infrastructure. What makes information technology work, right? All the hardware, the software, going into a whole new, I call it going from industrial IT to agile IT. So if you think about any typical data center, you know, the larger the company or the larger the government agency, the worse it is. Data centers are typically an amalgamation of stuff. Hardware that has grown through the years. If you bought a few companies, you try to make them fit in. So it's just really there. You never really clean out. Today, everything is, if you were going to start brand new, you wouldn't have that. It would all be cloud, it would be virtualization, it would be mobility, right? And so that transformation is a $4 trillion opportunity. Trillion dollars, right? So therefore, I think it's an excellent opportunity for South Florida to become the technology hub for Latin America, to really serve as the hub for this transformation, right? So my vision is, if you think about it, there are 600 million people south of us that are starving for the transfer of technology. You have, at the same time, the legacy large IT companies, the IBMs, the Ciscos, EMCs, that are now looking at Latin America with a much more keen eye because their traditional markets have now slowed down, to say the least. So it's like the perfect storm. If you think about South Florida, we could be that hub of technology that actually then serves as a catalyst for the technology industry in general. The best analogy of what we're trying to do, Tom, is Art Basel. I grew up in Miami. I don't remember Miami being an art capital of the world. And, you know, and look at Art Basel today. The number one destination for private jets in the world, I mean, in the U.S. yearly, is the Super Bowl. Number two is Art Basel. I mean, that's in a period of 10 years. If you take a look at the impact of Art Basel, not only about the Art Basel week, but what has happened at Wynwood, what has happened around the area, all the new galleries being born, new neighborhoods, this actually makes a really, really significant potential.
So I want to dig a little deeper on this with art imitating business. What do you see as the transferable ingredients for the success of Art Basel to the future potential success of technology here in South Florida?
I think there are many, 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 many similarities. But the most important one, when Art Basel happened, the art community was already beginning. You already had Wynwood as a trendy little South Beach was happening. You had the Gables Art Gallery night, and a lot was happening, right? Art Basel just came and put it all together, and it was a spark that made everything else go. If you think about what's happening today, you have a lot on the innovation aspect here. You have a lot of incubators and accelerators. You have Launchpad. You have The Hive. You have Lab Miami. You have FIU taking a leadership position at the startup accelerator level, right? By itself, that doesn't do it, but there's some things happening already. So what we're trying to do is by bringing the institutional aspect of this, in other words, the big legacy companies, together with innovation from Latin America, is to spark a whole ecosystem of community regarding technology. That needs to, besides the accelerator incubator, you need to have the proper education. You need to have a funding mechanism. You don't come to Miami to get funded as a technology company today. There's no Sand Hill Road. For those of you who don't know, it's the road right next to Stanford, where you have hundreds of VCs lining up, and you most certainly don't have an employment base. Nova University graduates an incredible amount of folks, and today in the hacking community, former Nova graduates are all over the place, and you find former Miami folks all over. They cannot come back home, because they don't have the employment base. So the whole idea is to create an ecosystem that actually helps both, all of it, education, accelerator, incubator, funding mechanism, and then eventually the employment base to create a real healthy technology ecosystem down here.
When I talk to folks in the technology community, one of the points that they make is the funding mechanism still remains very weak locally. You've had your success with Terramark. You've opened up your own capital partnership now. You're putting some money behind certain efforts. What more needs to be done in Miami to prove to those angel investors, those early investors, and the venture capitalists and equity capitalists that what's happening in Miami is worth taking a look at?
Yeah, you know, the money flows to where the opportunities are, right? And that's really it's very simple. So what we really need to do is bring the opportunities. So therefore, it's kind of like a vicious circle, right? Who comes first? So what the venture world sees, that they don't need to be all chasing the same opportunities that they do in Silicon Valley today, you know, or in Boston or on the research triangle, that, you know, that in fact they have a whole world down here. That's what brings them down here. And I think it's only a matter of time and us being able to bring the right opportunities.
You mentioned three other locations that have been vying for that next title of the next Silicon Valley. What sets Miami apart in terms of the risks?
Well, I think the risk is that eventually the critical mass doesn't happen. I mean, as a matter of fact, if you think about it, Terramark, we were growing faster everywhere else in Amsterdam, in Latin America, in Silicon Valley, in Dallas, and we were here. So the risk is that you become isolated. I think the risk is less now because I think the movement is here. The reason why the Silicon Valleys and these ecosystems congregate, because it's a lot easier. When you're going out as a new company to go out and seek funding in a day, when you can visit nine places versus having to get on a plane and, you know, spend 3 weeks and spend 10 times the amount of money, it's easy for you to congregate together. So that's the biggest risk.
Finally, Manny, how will you know whether or not you succeed in your vision for technology in the industry here?
Look, I don't think there's a one day that you say, but how do we know that Art Basel succeeded? I mean, there's a lot of statistics. You're going to see a lot of people coming back here. You're going to see you're going to see areas. You're going to see one. You know how we're going to really going to know? You're going to have a major move of a company that says, you know what? It makes sense for us to be here. And I don't mean opening the sales office representing Latin America. All of them, a lot of them have that. I mean, somebody's going to say, we're going to put our headquarters here.
That's Manny Medina, the former Terramark CEO. He's among those in South Florida leading the charge to grow the technology industry here. So what is the sound of this sound like? What does the sound of startups sound like?
My name is Freddie Laker. I'm the CEO and founder of
We're based in Miami in the Midtown.
That's eight different entrepreneurs here in South Florida who have based their companies here, tapping into the energy and the optimism necessary to strike out on their own. Now, they're all in different stages of development for their firms. Some have already attracted millions of dollars from investors, most of those investors from outside our region. Others are just bootstrapped operations just beginning. Thanks to the work of Google Journalism Fellows, we will hear from many of them throughout the hour.
My name is Danny LaFuente. I'm the COO, CFO, and co-founder of The Lab Miami, located in the Wynwood Arts District of Miami, Florida. Just for such a long time, the business atmosphere down here was very isolationist. You know, people weren't sharing their ideas. And when you go to places like San Francisco and Austin and Boulder and Boston and New York, there's this buzz, and people are pitching you their idea wherever you are, on the subway, in the elevator, in the coffee shop in Miami. You know, when we first started this, it was still very much, oh, can you sign an NDA before I tell you my idea? And that's something that we really wanted to change that culture. We wanted to make it more collaborative. We wanted to make it more open.
My name is Brian Breckin. I'm the CEO of Kairos. Kairos is a facial recognition company, so we are merging offline and online identity to create a world without fraud. I think some people come here because it was a party town. They came here on up for a bachelor party, what have you, and just realized it was amazing. But other people came here just because they feel that kindred spirit. You know, they realize, you know, if you're from in banking, you're in hospitality, and now if you're in startup, it's a place that you can really thrive, and you're surrounded by, you know, like-minded people.
It's the sound of startups here on the Sunshine Economy, WLRN. Join the conversation at WLRN.org, on Twitter at WLRN. Be sure to use the hashtag Sunshine Economy, a lively discussion happening on technology, about technology here in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Voices from the South Florida startups, by the way, collected by Google Journalism Fellows. Now, before any company here in our region breaks out to become that next big thing in technology, it has to start with an idea seen an opportunity. How to make that idea into reality? Well, there's a whole crowd of incubators, entrepreneur centers, accelerators, enterprise centers, research parks, and innovation campuses. That's where they come in. The Miami Herald's Karen Burkett visited two such facilities in South Florida, hoping to grow and invest in the right opportunity.
It may be a business incubator focused on technology, but this is still South Florida. So it's no surprise to hear talk about real estate.
So as I said, we've got 14,000 square feet in this suite.
That's Andrew Duffel, the CEO who runs the incubator at the Research Park at Florida Atlantic University. He's not only concerned about who joins the incubator, he's concerned about getting them to interact. Duffel emphasized the theme repeatedly.
One of the most important things about an incubator is the ability to bump into each other and to work together.
And again, on the design of the place.
We chose this suite because of its layout that lends itself to collaboration.
And again, about the lounge.
Just for people to hang out and throw ideas around.
It kind of sounds like one big group project. But make no mistake, this is not school. It's business. This particular incubator has been around for 2.5 years. 22 early-stage tech companies are living and growing at the Boca Raton facility. The startup teams are learning things every company should know.
You know, they're developing their technology all the time, but they have to be aware as they build a company about labor law, about HR practices, about IP protection.
If you peek inside the various incubator offices, you'll see a small video studio, mobile app wizards, folks working on pharmaceutical development. By definition, an incubator focuses on businesses in their infancy. These companies are learning to stand on their own, the same way a baby does before she actually starts to walk.
The essential aim really is to take as much of the burden of running a company off of their shoulders so that they can develop their technology and commercialize it.
Kevin Hawker was working early that morning, unusual because his crew pulls a lot of late nights. Hawker graduated from FAU in 2011. His startup, ThinkSoft, has space at the incubator.
We do mobile outsourced development locally.
What are you working on today?
Right now, well, I can't really talk about what I'm working on right now, but we do a lot of sports apps.
And how long have you been with the incubator?
I've been here about a year.
What's the experience like?
It's great. I mean, I've been in a lot of different offices, but this one, there's a more of a sense of a community, and there's more people around to work with and talk to. And
the goal of the incubator is obviously to create businesses and jobs. But Andrew Duffel never forgets his role as landlord.
And our ultimate aim is always to keep a company for about 2 years while they grow and establish themselves, and then graduate into the research park.
And by graduate into, Duffel means becoming a long-standing paying tenant of the research park at FAU. Over at the Miami Innovation Center, you know that building you see from 95, Project Lift Miami has just accepted its first class of businesses into a new accelerator program. Unlike an incubator, an accelerator supports businesses a little further along in their development. No baby learning to stand here. Think adolescence. Independent, creative, but still underfunded. 5 companies, all of them focused on healthcare, have 90 days to get business resources, technology services, warm introductions, access to Miami's health district. Again, it's that collaborative spirit. Folks in the program were given rigorous personality tests.
They designed it perfectly for us to come in here and intermingle. It wasn't an accident that they chose us all for this program.
Crystal Ice is the CEO of Alert.MD. She's from West Palm Beach. She and partner Dr. Dale Taylor, the company's chief medical officer, say they developed the Alert.MD emergency identification system because of professional experiences, what he was seeing on the job. As a resident, Dr. Taylor remembers having to care for patients without any information about their medical history. He thought, what if there was just some sort of button you could push?
If an elderly person were to come into the ER and we just have a license to go by, we have no one to contact to let them know they're even in the hospital, much less find out their past medical history, medication allergies.
Alert.md is that button, and it accesses the medical information.
It's basically an icon on your phone.
It is an icon on your phone, but it can be much more than that in the end. We're hoping that eventually, one of the reasons we're here is for marketing and to get hospitals, EMS systems, and the public actually using this application.
Project Lyft says at this point, the companies are being judged by how many jobs they create and how many lives they touch, not by how much capital they raise. For the Sunshine Economy, I'm Karen Burkett, reporting from the WLRN Miami Herald newsroom.
We're looking at technology in South Florida online at WLRN.org and on Twitter at WLRN with the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Now, the word entrepreneur comes from the French word meaning to undertake, to take upon oneself. And while there are plenty of lonely times when beginning a business, it simply can't be done in isolation if it's to be successful. Ask any successful entrepreneur. And this is the underlying message of all these kinds of programs locally that are designed to help startups. Mark Slaughter found that help for his idea at the Launchpad on the Coral Gables campus at the University of Miami.
2.5 years ago, it was literally on the back of a napkin. It was more of just an idea in the back of my head, and it's gone through lots of different iterations, lots of brainstorming sessions, and it's kind of morphed what it is today.
What it is today is Cohilo. It's a company with more than a dozen employees based in Boca Raton, but with offices in Los Angeles and plans to launch in Boston and the Midwest in the next month. It was launched with the help Slaughter found at the Launchpad, a 5-year-old strategy started by the Dean of Undergraduate Education at UM, Bill Green.
Instead of treating entrepreneurship as an alternative career, that is, as something you do when you can't get a job, we treat entrepreneurship as a legitimate career path, as a mainstream career path, which is a job.
The program is open to all students, regardless of what they're studying. Mark Slaughter happened to be studying for his master's in business administration when he walked into the Launchpad with his idea, create a business to help hospitals share expensive medical equipment. Think of it kind of like the Zipcar, car-sharing business model.
We take that same sort of a model and bring it to medical devices, to healthcare. We enable hospitals to share their and collaboratively consume their medical devices between different locations so they can split the cost of ownership, the cost of the consumption of these assets, and really drive a lot of new revenue and cost savings for them, enabling them to redeploy a lot of capital quickly, too, so they can invest in new physicians, new technology, facilities, that sort of a thing.
The aha moment came when I first saw Mark's idea.
Will Silverman is the director of the Launchpad.
We get so many ideas, and many of them, you know, are potentially viable ideas. When Mark first presented us with his idea, it was intuitively obvious to anybody who knew anything about the healthcare industry that this was something that could work and could work on a really, really large scale. But it was a question of, would Mark have the dedication and frankly the thick skin to get it all organized, because there were going to be a lot of challenges along the way.
Well, he has so far, and Cohilo is one of the program's success stories. It hasn't been without its challenges, though. A common complaint you hear in entrepreneurial circles throughout South Florida is about the lack of capital. Now, that's business speak for money, not enough money. It takes cash, sometimes a lot of it, to get an idea off the ground. And other regions like the Bay Area and San Francisco or Boston have concentrated sources of investors looking for that next big thing. South Florida doesn't really. Now, it has plenty of money, there's no doubt there. It's just not the right kind for entrepreneurs, according to Will Silverman of the Launchpad.
We have a lot of disposable capital. We have a lot of very wealthy individuals. Some of them, but not all of them, recognize South Florida as an entrepreneurial hotspot. So there are plenty of people in the community that have the ability to take part in angel investments or angel networks that are not necessarily taking part. We don't necessarily have local venture capital that's established yet.
Now, the risk to the local technology industry is that big money tends to want to be very close, physically close to its investments. Cohelo found its big investors in Boston, but it's been able to stay in Boca Raton, thanks partly to the lack of competition for technology workers here in South Florida.
We think the workforce down here is incredibly undervalued. We think there's an amazing engineering talent down here and management talent that is not necessarily neglected, but isn't given its true due. You don't have as much competition as you do in some of those other markets, so that's a good thing for us and for a lot of other startup companies.
Now, it's not to say that entrepreneurs don't want local competition. The startup community, after all, recognizes it is a community, and that's evident at all these incubators and accelerators. Bill Green at UM's Launchpad sees it as strengthening the region overall.
I think we are rapidly coming to the awareness that we need a very broad base of kinds of industries here and kinds of business opportunities here. And the more that happens, the stronger the entrepreneurial ecosystem will become.
Cohelo is adding to that local and regional diversification, growing from nothing to a company with revenues in the millions of dollars. All that in less than 3 years, all that from here in South Florida, adding its voice to the success of other future startups locally.
My name is Freddie Laker, and I'm the CEO and founder of God. We're based in Miami in the Midtown area. Guide takes online news and social streams, and we turn it into television. I actually think Miami's going to surprise a lot of people. I think Miami could turn into another Austin-type scenario, kind of a up-and-coming second-tier place where people start going for solid talent, good infrastructure, low taxes. I mean, we've got no state income tax. I mean, that's a huge benefit. And I think you're going to see a lot of stuff grow here. And particularly as LATAM, becomes more and more important.
I am Andres Moreno, founder and CEO of OpenEnglish.com. Open English is located in Coconut Grove, Miami.
My name is Nicolette Moreno. I'm the founder and chief product officer for OpenEnglish.com. Open English is an online school. We're the largest in Latin America. We teach English on 100% online experience. Open English was started with my husband and I in 2007. We met in Venezuela at church and through his mother. And we started what would become the largest school in the emerging markets.
We're venture funded. We raised over $120 million from the premier venture capital firms around the country. We raised our angel round in the Bay Area and then, came to Miami afterwards.
That's just one of the success stories and illustrative of one of the challenges of the South Florida technology industry, which we're talking about today here on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Open English had to go to the San Francisco Bay Area to raise money, but then decided to locate in Miami. You may not recognize the company or its co-founders, but thanks to a big marketing campaign in South America, CEO Andres Moreno says he gets stopped and asked for his picture, an autograph. Famous. Here in Miami, he was just added to the board of Endeavor Miami. That's a $2 million partnership between the Knight Foundation and Endeavor. Matt Hagman is the Miami program director for the Knight Foundation, and Linda Rotenberg is the co-founder and CEO of Endeavor.
Miami is a place that's always been highly entrepreneurial. Miami is a place where people start things, right? But increasingly what we're seeing is we're seeing other trends that come together that you find in places that not only have a high level of entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. but a high level of innovation as well. Miami increasingly has become a place, a sort of a cultural center, right? And you see this relationship between arts and ideas and innovation. And then Miami's urbanizing, right? And really strong, robust sort of startup environments, you see sort of these clusters developing. Miami now has the capability to do that. So our thought was is that what we're seeing now is these trends coming together. Meanwhile, we're seeing these things bubble up. So there is this real energy that we're seeing. And of course, it's all informed by one of Miami's real advantages, and that it's so uniquely diverse and international. Miami's a place where over half the residents are foreign-born.
Linda, what will spell success for you in South Florida?
Well, I've said that I would like the next Jeff Bezos to build Amazon in Miami and not take that famous road trip to Seattle.
So this is interesting, right? Because Bezos is a Miami kid. He grew up here, went to school here. But of course, Amazon is located in Seattle. So, Linda...
Exactly. And Sheryl Sandberg, another famous Miami grad, is now the COO of Facebook, sitting in Silicon Valley. I would like that talent to know that there's a place for, you know, there's a entrepreneurial hub. There's, as you said, Miami is so poised to take innovations from Miami and scale them throughout Latin America and vice versa. There's such a diversity of talent there. But we want people to actually stay and believe that you can't just start things in Miami. You can actually grow large companies and stay right at home.
You know, this gets to the point, Matt, of the brain drain that South Florida has seen over the past generation or so of folks seeing education opportunities in South Florida, but seeing their business opportunities elsewhere.
The ultimate aim of this whole effort is to help make Miami more of a place where ideas are built, right? And the hope is that if we can do that well, and Endeavor is the centerpiece, is that it'll lead to more resident engagement, lead to more attachment to the city, lead to more talent retention, and along with just sort of a greater sense of purpose and possibility.
What sets Miami apart from all those other cities in the United States that wants these same kinds of things, right? I mean, Austin is trying to get up and running. I mean, it's had a great music scene for so many years, and South by Southwest Conference is becoming much more of a technology conference as it is a music conference. You've got similar situations in Portland that's trying to stoke entrepreneurialism in the Northwest. So what does Miami need to do to compete domestically, let alone internationally?
The biggest thing as we look at Miami is the problem we have to solve is connection between entrepreneurs, connection to mentors, connection to access to capital, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it seems that Miami, as we were talking about earlier, really is generating all of the other elements that are really needed. What it lacks, though, are these connections. In Miami, these are very solvable problems in Miami. There is significant wealth here, right? Although there's a low rate of venture capital, but there's significant wealth here. It feels like that's a problem that can be solved.
When we look back at Endeavor's success in places like Buenos Aires and Sao Paulo and Istanbul, Mexico City, Amman, Jordan, I think that what we saw is there was talent, there were ideas, but there weren't these connections that Matt is talking about. And Endeavor is really known for our mentor capital model. And what we do is encourage people to help entrepreneurs with these challenges of going to scale. So taking advantage of the existing business networks and putting them to the test at these inflection points when most companies either kind of flatline or can really have that hockey stick growth. But then what we do is encourage these entrepreneurs in a peer-to-peer network to mentor one another, to invest in one another. And when we look back at the successful places like Silicon Valley, entrepreneurs aren't just starting one company and helping to grow jobs and wealth, which is important. They're investing time and money and talent in one another. And I think that that's where you start seeing this ripple effect. And we're sure that what's going to happen in Miami is these isolated cases of fantastic companies creating that ecosystem where a 15-year-old can say, if he can do it, if she can do it, I can too.
Miami has seen significant success on the entrepreneurial scale for the better part of a couple of generations. It's been kind of concentrated in the real estate space, certainly. But why has that been missing up until at least this point, guys? I mean, Matt, you know, you've lived and worked in this community for a long time. It's a close-knit community, despite its size and despite its diversity. What has been missing in terms of that reinvestment in startup capital? The fact that, you know, we maybe haven't seen the successful entrepreneurs kind of turn back around and see the community that they've invested in for so long and then help lift it up to the next level?
I would say infrastructure and leadership. I
mean, what do you mean by infrastructure?
Sure. So this ecosystem, right, you have places, right, where entrepreneurs can gather and connect, have mentor networks you can tap into. I mean, for example, someone talked about when we were starting this whole effort at night, and we were, you know, trying to talk to as many people as we could. One person said, you know, Silicon Valley is based on a million cups of coffee. That is that it's sort of socially acceptable for a very wealthy investor to give 30 minutes of his or her time with someone with a startup with an idea that they know they're not going to invest in. Yet they grant that time because they see that as a learning opportunity, as sort of a data point for them. In Miami, I think that's sort of culturally not been part of what's been played out here.
We've got great coffee counters and wonderful coffee. World-class coffee here.
Well, and I think, and actually you make a good point, which is that there, I think what we see is two trends. Number one is that a lot of people in a lot of cities who are looking at the Web 3.0 and technology-based innovations see Silicon Valley, or maybe now for Content New York, as the places where if they go to scale, that's where they want funding from, and that's where they will then end up physically, because the funders will demand that they base themselves in these hubs.
Right.
And we want to change that, number one. We want to say you can be a world-class tech company and come and stay in Miami, and there can be local funding, local job creation. But the second thing, which is to your coffee point, that a lot of the innovations and diversities around the world, high growth companies, very large-scale job producers, are not in technology. And I think we've got to get out of this image in the United States of the entrepreneur being some techie 20-year-old in a hoodie with an engineering degree and maybe a black T-shirt. You know,
that entrepreneur in South Florida may have a linen suit with some nice sandals on. Right? Matt Hagman with the Knight Foundation and Linda Rotenberg with Endeavor, teaming up together in South Florida to help jumpstart startups.
My name is Sabrina Skandar, and I'm one of the founders of Vividly. We're a platform that allows anyone with an artistic vision to transform their work into beautiful fashion pieces. So we take the art and we digitally print it on fabric, and we make that into high-end boutique-worthy clothing. The startup community in Miami is still relatively small compared to other cities like San Francisco, New York, you know, even Boulder and Austin. And what's great about that is that there's a lot of collaboration and communication among startups and influencers.
Daniel Eilenberg, and I'm the president of Animal Político. We're based in Miami, Florida, and we also have an office in Mexico. We are an online news platform focused especially on Mexican politics. Being in the U.S. has been incredibly helpful for us. I think that a lot of the innovation in media is coming out of the U.S., and for us, it's allowed us to see the market develop in real time here and almost in slow motion in Mexico.
More sounds of startups here on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. On Twitter, at WLRN, use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. South Florida isn't without a tech industry already. If you've ever used GoToMeeting, for instance, to hold a meeting on your computer, you've used a product from a South Florida tech giant, Citrix. Its operational headquarters in Fort Lauderdale, but the strategic headquarters remain in Silicon Valley. It's a different geographic strategy for .co internet. First, let me explain .co. You know .com at the end of most websites, right? Well, .co is really no different, just one less consonant. Every country in the world is assigned a two-letter internet domain, .us for the United States, .br for Brazil. Most companies use the generic domain .com. But several years ago, Colombia recognized that its assigned internet domain code could actually be valuable. After all, it's .co, .co. Colombia, company, corporation, commerce. 4 years ago, a company called .co Internet won the license to manage the .co Internet domain. So back to geography now. The company is headquartered in Bogota, but its strategic headquarters is in the Brickell neighborhood in Miami, along with that of its parent company, Strat Investments.
My name is Juan Diego Calle. I'm the CEO of .co Internet. You know, since the founding of the company, we have focused entirely around entrepreneurs and startups and essentially innovation, anything that's innovation on the web. We want the future of the web to be built on .co. The internet was already built on .com and .net and some of these other domain extensions. What we're interested in is what's happening in the next wave of the internet. The entrepreneurial community, the tech community, is building those tools, those services that are going to influence the internet over the next 25 years, and that's where we want to be. We'd like to call it the point of inception, the point where ideas are being born. That's where we can have a real big impact.
Lorianne Wardy, Vice President of Brand at .co Internet. It's incredible if you think about the fact that 45% of small businesses in America have no website whatsoever, have no web presence. And there's just this gaping opportunity of people to get online. The internet is just getting started. We're just scratching the surface. And I think we have a huge opportunity to sort of be that home online for this entrepreneurial wave that we're seeing around the world, and for the small business owners who don't know that they too can get online simply, quickly, and with ease.
There's this misconception that starting technology companies in Miami or in South Florida is a risky bet. I don't feel that way. This is my second company. The first one, we sold it to Yahoo in 2005. No risk with that. And we've managed to attract incredible talent to our company here in Miami, so there's no reason for us to be anywhere else.
I'm Jose Ignacio Rasco. I'm the managing director of Strat Investments. The more successful companies there are around us, just the better it is for everyone, right? Although Miami hasn't always been a tech hub, I really think Miami's one of the most entrepreneurial cities in the country. You know, we're a city full of immigrants that come here and start businesses with no money, and you know, that's kind of in our blood down here.
Now I'm an evangelist for Miami. I mean, I'm telling everybody, why is everyone waiting till they retire to move to Miami? It's so silly. It's like, come now. This is the time to do it. I absolutely love it.
Well, another one who absolutely loves it is Albert Santolo, president and CEO of CareCloud. It's an internet-based software company for healthcare providers, improving the experience for patients and providers, and he has made the decision to stay in Miami. He joins us now. Albert, how difficult has it been to attract investors and stay in South Florida?
You know, I would say that for us, it hasn't been all that difficult. You know, we made a conscious decision to say that our feet were firmly cemented in South Florida, and we were able to articulate why that was important. If you look at our competition, you know, some of the largest healthcare IT companies are based in Kansas City.
Right.
Or Verona, Wisconsin, places like that. So clearly Miami is a more desirable place to do this. There are no predecessors in Silicon Valley to what we do.
So part of the reason why you've been able to successfully attract outside capital here to Miami and stay in Miami is that there was no infrastructure in the healthcare IT space that you had that was built out anywhere else in the country.
That's right. That's right. And we, you know, we just look at the approach that we took and the strategy that we laid down, and which included, you know, how are we going to execute from a place like Miami?
And how are you?
Doing very well.
Yeah.
Doing very well. You know, there's lots of advantages. You know, clearly cost structure is one of them. One of the things I think we've done that's been very important is we've always had a foot firmly cemented in Silicon Valley as well. You know, my belief is that it's not so much about the place as it is the people that are there, and the sharing of best practices and knowledge, and so have to do that.
So talk to us about people. Do you have difficulty at CareCloud in attracting and retaining the kind of technology and healthcare technology intel that you need to grow your company here in South Florida?
No, I would say it's been fairly easy for us. I mean, we're able to attract the best of the best in terms of engineering talent in South Florida. I think the next wave of that will be to keep the kids, you know, FIU, UM, et cetera, graduate tons of kids from the computer sciences every year, and then we lose those people in this community.
Right, and Manny Medina made that point earlier in the program that a lot of that brain drain continues to leave South Florida. So how do you retain that here with these research institutions attracting it? How do you keep it?
Yeah, so a lot of it's promotion. We have to get in front of the schools and the kids early on to make them understand that staying in Miami is a tremendous alternative for them. You know, we try to think of CareCloud, you know, our goal is to make it the premier technology employer in the Southeast United States, maybe the entire East Coast.
You don't dream small then, do you?
No. And we're a long way from that, but that is the goal. You know, we're dealing with big problems. You know, some people say that Silicon Valley is full of brilliant people working on simple problems. Well, what I would tell you is that I don't know if we're brilliant people, but we're certainly working on a world-changing type of problem, and there aren't that many of those left.
Dreaming big, Albert Santolo is president and CEO of CareCloud. It's the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. You can be forgiven if you're a bit cynical, like you've heard this story before about big technology and Silicon Beach coming to South Florida. After all, you have heard it before, probably, if you've been down here long enough. Nancy Dahlberg covers the technology industry. She is a Miami Herald business editor, writer, and blogger.
I think we're becoming a tech hub. We're an emerging tech hub right now. We're not a tech hub yet. I mean, at the Herald, I've been at the Herald a long time, and we've written a lot of stories about, can we be a tech hub, question mark. There were some in the 80s, some in the 90s, some in the mid-2000s, and all those efforts kind of petered out.
Yeah.
They weren't sustainable.
So the question mark maybe has gone away now?
I think that all the elements are there. I think we have a good shot at it this time.
Yeah. What put it at risk in years past?
I think it was more market-driven then, you know, the dot-com boom. Everybody wanted to be the next internet startup. Today, it's more economic realities. We have a whole lot of companies in the ideation stage right now. They're simply concepts or they're very rough prototypes. There is a lot of excitement. You can walk into any of the many co-working spaces we have now and see that. We don't have enough companies in the middle, the kind of companies that Endeavor, I think, will help foster and attract.
Nancy, you're a learned observer of the business community here, and you've reported on it for many years. What kinds of trends have you spotted recently that you see have the sustainability that's going to lift up this technology industry locally, but more importantly and perhaps broadly, lift up and continue this kind of entrepreneurial spirit we've seen lately?
I think the fact that we do have more co-working spaces, accelerators, and incubators moving in that cater to entrepreneurs, some that are really focused on the areas that we're already strong in, like healthcare and technology, in different areas of technology and creatives. I also think the fact that we have several groups now supporting it, like the Knight Foundation. We have, you know, other public-private groups and government groups, Miami-Dade County investing. All of this is great signs. The DDA, Enterprise Florida, Internet Coast, all these groups are coming together to focus on entrepreneurship, and I think that that's a really good sign and something that we haven't seen in the past, such a broad-based coming together of groups.
And it speaks specifically to the point of where's the money, where's the invested capital that's necessary. Entrepreneurs need two things, right? They need an idea, and then they need cash. And mm-hmm. It's that second element that you haven't necessarily seen private investors willing to take the risk. So you've seen nonprofits and government entities kind of fill that void, haven't you?
We have. And we've also seen entrepreneurs taking it on their own to find funding elsewhere. Silicon Valley, New York, what have you, and convincing their investors to stay here. That's getting harder and harder for them. So that's another reason why we need to build up these local funding networks.
That's Nancy Dahlberg covering technology for a long time with the Miami Herald. It is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson, and I want to take a moment to thank a crew of Google Journalism Fellows in helping out with our reporting of this program. The journalists began their summer fellowship in South Florida last week reporting on our technology industry. Nicole Pasolka, Stephen Suen, Lauren Fedor, Jan Lauren Boyles, and Nathaniel Lash, good luck with those Google fellowships this summer. And a special thank you to Marie Gilo from the Knight Foundation for helping out. Coming up next week here on the Sunshine Economy, 'tis the season of risk.
We are prepared for a Category 3 plus storm in inventory. And we also have suppliers that have been stocking up on inventory outside of our service territory.
That's FPL President Eric Szilagyi saying the utility is geared up for hurricane season. Next week, we look at preparing for the storm season. From power to the price of insurance, among our guests will be Citizens Property Insurance CEO Barry Gilway. It's Money Blowing in the Wind, the business of hurricanes, on the next Monday Sunshine Economy right here on WLRN. High-tech or low-tech, a startup business starts with an idea. It's an idea nurtured by opportunity and fueled by ambition. I'm Tom Hudson. This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Thanks for listening. Are you hot? 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 Are you hot?
H2O. C-I-I-T. X-U. T-H-2-O. H-U-T.